All right, so now we come into chapter 11, which is the one everybody loves. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Okay? So what's that say? Need to unpack that. Well, what is seen? Everything we can see. You, me, the walls, the carpet, so forth. What he's saying here is the things that we see are created out of things that were not seen, which is to say they were created, not made. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
In one of Solzhenitsyn's novels, there are these two characters debating the existence of God. And they are both in agreement that there is such a thing as a spiritual realm.
Okay.
Somehow. So the believer maintains, well, I maintain that spirit begets matter. Do you therefore maintain that matter begets spirit? Because that would truly be a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, the comment was a comment by Solzhenitsyn of a conversation between a believer and an atheist, basically, and both of whom believe that there's a spiritual realm. And the believer says that spirit creates matter, and then asks of the atheist, do you then believe that matter creates spirit? Because, to quote Brian or Solzhenitsyn, that would truly be a miracle. And that's exactly right. Spirit begets matter. So the things that we see are begotten from the spiritual world. And how is that done? Yeah, or through faith. But just at the creative level, if you will, things are brought into existence by faith. Now, you got to do some differentiation here, and perhaps a little explanation. You are the only thing that is designed to operate both in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm. So in that sense, God has created you to be a connector or an interface between spirit and physical. And your dog can't do it. I mean, your dog may be charming and all that kind of stuff, but your dog doesn't have a spirit. Has a soul, but not a spirit. Okay? And demons and so forth can't do it, because they are purely spiritual, and they, which is why demons seek to influence people, is because people can make things happen in the physical world. Since that is your function, there are a number of ways that you can perform that function. Now, the most obvious way is with your hands and with your voice. So if, for example, you go into your wood shop and you make a table, have you, in a sense, brought the table out of the spiritual and into the physical? Yeah. Yeah. Because the table was nothing but an idea. It had no existence. Now, the materials we work with had existence, you know, the wood and the glue and the nails and all that kind of stuff. In other words, we are not able to create things out of nothing. God does that. We don't get to do that.
It's the difference between creation and being made.
Yeah. Yeah. And the comment was the difference between creation and being made. We don't get to create the material. But what you do is you take an idea, which is a spiritual concept, and you turn it into something real, a table. So in that sense, you've brought something out of the spiritual and into the physical. Music is the same kind of a thing, where you're taking something that doesn't exist, and you are producing sound or words on paper or physical things like a table or, you know, whatever, what have you. You're bringing things out of the spiritual and into the physical. Okay? That's sort of thing one. That isn't all there is, however. Thing two is, by your faith, you can make things happen that you cannot make happen using your body. The obvious example is the splitting of the Red Sea. Or if you read forward into the book of Judges, the splitting of the Jordan River, and it's even more clear there. And what happens is God at some point says, quit praying, move. And in the case of the Red Sea, Midrash says that the sea doesn't actually split until the first guy got neck deep into the water. And that's Midrash. It's much clearer in the case of the splitting of the Jordan. The Jordan River didn't split until the first sandals hit the water, and that is scriptural. But in either case, is there anything about walking into a lake or a river or a sea or any of those kinds of things that would automatically, by your physical presence, would cause the sea to split? No. No. Would the sea have split had they not walked into it? No. It would not. Would the Jordan River have split had the first Levite not set foot into it? No. It would not. Would the Philistines have been defeated had not the Israelis taken up their sword and marched forward? No, they would not have. But who gave them the victory? God did. So what they've done, what the Israelis did in the case of the splitting of the Red Sea, is they brought something out of the spiritual and made it physical. But not in the way that making a table is making something physical from the spiritual. Did I say it so it made sense?
In John, do beautiful words too. I don't happen to be able to do that, but that's just a matter of practice and skill. It's not a matter of
exactly
faith.
Yep. The comment was that there's a conceptual difference between splitting the Red Sea and building a table. One is something we do every day, provided we have the skills, and there isn't any real faith involved there. There is, on some level, but. That's typically different of the splitting of the Red Sea, where you have no experience that would lead you to believe that that would happen. And that's one of the big differences. Now, another big difference, if you will, between faith and just the mundane bringing ideas into existence as a musician or a carpenter or a writer or a whatever. Again, both of those, please understand, are an interface between spiritual and physical. We're still interfacing between spiritual and physical in both cases. One of them, however, is the way we exist every day, and we don't think it's remarkable. Whereas the ones where we have to trust in the Word of God are remarkable. Okay? Because that goes against our common sense, if you will. And the little demonstration that I did here on Shabbat was I had Tom get up and walk toward the wall. And I said, keep walking, keep walking. And when Tom got to the wall, Tom stopped. Tom did not take a full stride and go into the wall. Tom started taking baby steps as he got closer to the wall because Tom did not expect to be able to walk through the wall.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Yeah. But we know that's possible.
Yeah, Yeshua did it.
Yeah, Yeshua did it, didn't he? He just appeared in the middle of rooms. So it is, in fact, possible. But Tom didn't have enough faith to have that happen.
Peter did that when he stepped on the water. Yeah.
Peter did.
He was walking, and then the faith left him, and he sank.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened.
He did the same thing as walking into the wall.
Exactly. Peter, and the comment was, Peter did exactly the same thing when he saw Yeshua out on the water. And what's the difference between Yeshua and me? Besides, Yeshua is God and I'm not. Actually, that is the difference. Okay? No, it's serious. What did Yeshua say?
He just said, come on, and Peter said, again.
Yeshua said, come.
Yeah.
And when Yeshua said, come, he got out of the river or boat and walked across. Now, there's a disconnect here. What's the disconnect? Weren't they in that boat under the direction of Yeshua to begin with? And didn't Yeshua say, go to the other side?
Right.
Didn't they have the same set of instructions from the Messiah in both cases? In other words, they got into the boat, Messiah said, go to the other side. Do they have the Word of God telling them what to do?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. When Peter gets out of the boat and walks, Yeshua says, come. Do they have the Word of God telling them what to do in both cases? Absolutely. So why did one work and the other one not?
He lost faith.
Yes. In both cases. In both cases. What I'm suggesting to you is, and this didn't happen, so, you know, is they had every bit as much authority and power when they were sailing across the sea as they had when Yeshua said, come on, Peter.
They could have walked out to the other side?
I'm suggesting they could have either bored through or quieted the storm. I don't know how they would have done it, but they had the same degree of authority from God in both cases. And in both cases, when their sight wavered from God and they focused on their surroundings instead of focusing on God, that's when things started to come apart. You understand what I'm saying?
We can't make our own faith.
I don't know that that's true. The question was, from Teresa, my understanding is that we can't make our own faith, that God gives us a measure of faith. And Paul does say that in one of his letters, that faith is a gift. However, you also have cases where people, and we're going to read about them here in chapter 11, where people were given an instruction by God and carried it out for long periods of time, and God looked at them and accounted it to them for righteousness. And what I'm suggesting is what you do is you believe the Word of God first. And what we're going to hear in the examples here, people had audible instructions from God saying, do this. And they were able to hang on to that long enough to complete the task. And that's why they're in the book. Okay? Peter, who was also in the book as an example for us, held on to it about halfway out onto the water. And then he looked down and realized, wait a minute. As Ray said, a roadrunner moment here. He looks down and there's nothing under his feet. And all of a sudden, down he goes. I will suggest to you it is not the case that Yeshua gave him faith and then took it away. Yes, the question was, how do we get more faith? And we'll answer that, I hope, by the end. So, what we've said is that we are a connector between the spiritual and the physical, and that faith is that we bring things out of the spiritual and into the physical, and a lot of that is just plain old mundane activities that we all go through. Some of it, however, is special when we have faith in the Word of God, and things then come into being according to the promises of God because of our faith. Did everybody hear what I said? Things come into being according to the promises of God because of our faith. Okay? Now, one of the things that's extremely important to understand is faith is not primarily mental. Faith is not primarily mental. In other words, certainly how you think is a big part of it, but simply thinking is not enough. You have got to step out and behave in accordance with the Word of God before things happen. It is not simply enough to read the Word of God or hear the Word of God and agree that that's correct. It will always require you to do something physical, and if you don't do it, it doesn't work. And we're going to see in every one of these examples in chapter 11, somebody did something. And that's what made it happen.